morning. It is time. We're going to go ahead and get started for sake of keeping everybody on track and keeping timely here in our sessions. Welcome to the first of our presentations. We'll be in for a long and exciting day of presentations, and I'm delighted to see you here for the first one. Just a note to our presenters and also to people in the room so that you kind of know how we're going to do it, and I'm thanking Claire because she's so organized. She sent a suggestion as to how we could do this and pull it off. So following Claire's lead here, we're going to go ahead and have 12 minutes per speaker. Then we are going to have you hold questions till the end because we have a little technical thing here with the recording that we want to go ahead and give the minute or so it takes to transition to the next person's slides and get that up. Let all the speakers do their presentations, then we'll have a nice chunk for questions and answers at the end. Jot them down so you won't forget what your question is, because I know sometimes you have a burning question and then four speakers later you can't even remember what it was. So jot them down, and our speakers have to stay up here because they're being recorded, and make sure everybody who does speak mentions their any disclosures that they have. And I, as a presenter or a moderator, do not have any disclosures to disclose this morning as well. So I'm first on, so as soon as I advance the slides, we're going to be recording and we'll get to it here. As you can see, this is about a year's worth of healthy aging classes at Palmer College. I'm going to go ahead and advance. I do have no relationships to disclose. The background is that this is a collaboration between the University of Iowa and Palmer College of Chiropractic. It's a HRSA-funded project, a Health Resources and Services Administration project through the Iowa Geriatric Education Center. We are one of three that I know of chiropractic colleges that are formally affiliated with the Geriatric Education Center, New York being one and Logan being one, but there may be another that I don't know about. One of our activities through the Iowa Geriatric Education Center is to teach a course in healthy aging and to assess outcomes on that course and report to the government on those outcomes. And so this presentation will be drier than the usual thing I present. This is simply results from the pre and post assessments that we have in that course on student knowledge and student attitudes. Just a little background about the healthy aging course. This was developed from a very, very ancient now HRSA contract to develop a model curriculum in chiropractic geriatric education. And that project, if Cheryl Hawk was the lead or I was the lead, we were jockeying leads at that point. And then the next project that we had was to pilot test that class, that course, and then to implement it and revise it. So through the years, that's what we've been doing in this course. Now what we end up with is a very evidence-based, experiential, health promotion and prevention oriented and very clinically focused healthy aging class at Palmer College. In the early years, Dr. Hawk and I, along with Lori Bird, who's not with us today, did publish about this project, and it was very similar. We were assessing outcomes pre and post, and so that is a very similar paper, and you can look for that in the Journal of Gerontological Nursing. And in that paper, the findings were that on the Facts on Aging quiz, which actually I left around for you, and you'll see some in the aisles if you want to kind of see what a Facts on Aging quiz looks like or an aging semantics differential. They showed an improvement in student knowledge through the Facts on Aging quiz and some improvement as well in attitudes. And those were measured thusly, and we'll talk a little bit about the differences between that course and this. So Facts on Aging. It's originally published by a very older gentleman named Paul Moore. And he didn't even know that this was going to become the gold standard. It was just a 25-question questionnaire. And you'll see it's very simple. But over it stood the test of time, and over time has remained the gold standard for assessing student health professional students' knowledge in geriatrics. It's 25 questions such as, older persons, true or false. Now, I'll just get a show of hands, so this will be like we do it in class. We either do show of hands, or now we're going to move to clickers, voting. And I usually assign a counter and assign, a tiebreaker person that's going to break the tie if there's a tie. So we make it fun in the classroom. So it's going to be the west side versus the east side here, or north or south. And how many people on this side, true or false, feel that older persons have more acute illness than younger persons? How many say true? How many say false? All right, how many say true over here? And how many say false? so the false is having on both sides. In fact, older persons have less acute illness, so both sides were correct. And then all five senses tend to decline in old age, they do, and less than 1/10 of older persons live in long stay. So that's how we go through it in class. After they've filled in and completed the assessment, turned it in, we go through this class activity. And then the aging semantics differential, which if you want to flip that sheet over, you'll see that there's a 7 spaces here, and students have to make a mark where they feel on this spectrum their attitude lies. How do they feel that older people are friendly versus unfriendly, tolerant versus intolerant, pessimistic, optimistic, all of those. So they just put marks there and it's scored. And this over time, even though it's a very old assessment, and you can see it came out in 1969, has remained, again, the one that seems to be the most valid and reliable tool for assessing student attitudes on caring for aging patients. And even recently in the gerontological journals in geriatric education, they're looking at a 2008 article says that this one was the better tool compared to the other tools that have come out. So this is what we use. And the normative values. In aging semantics related to attitudes, usually about 70% of those items that you see on that, students will score neutral. Some negative, but 70% of them neutral. And facts on aging, that's actually where there's right and wrong answers. That one, dental students recently assessed have scored 14.2 as an average score on a pretest. Dietitians about 10, and then medical students about 12 to 14 out of 25 questions. So that'll give you an idea where the normal averages are. And then what ours were. I want you to note something here. Our pre-scores were on the Facts on Aging quiz 16.5, 16.2, and 16.4. Those are extraordinarily high pre-scores. Those are 2 points higher than the highest that's published in the literature. I think it's time, Claire, thank you for the encouragement. I think it's time for us to publish about this. The chiropractic students go in with very positive attitudes about, a very good knowledge about aging going into the course. And then afterwards, they had scores of 18.9, 17.4, and interestingly, one score that went down. And this is how it looks on graphically. But I wanted to mention, why would there be one that went down? I've been doing these assessments for 10 years or so on this course. I've never had a class go down. But I did something different. I said, I'm going to hand out the Facts on Aging quiz. We're going to skip the activity where we actually go through it. I'm going to teach the class not doing anything outside of just a few basic topics. Not talk anything about the overall topic of healthy aging and the overall topic of aging in society and, you know, Medicare and various things that don't really relate to chiropractic. I'm not even going to talk about it, and we're going to do the pre and post test. And that's where they actually went down. It was interesting because usually we discuss these things, we talk widely about healthy aging and about aging in society, and that's a good strategy apparently, because only once in, like I say, about 10 or 12 years have we ever had scores fall. Or remain similar. So, related to attitudes, student attitudes, lower numbers, I want you to be aware, are better attitudes. So a lower score is best in this. 2.6 to 4.3 is the overall mean and median scores. They were the same. So 3.21, if you average them all together, was where our students lie. And interestingly, even though I said that normative values and what's out there in the literature is 70% of these items will be scored neutrally or slightly negative, in our pretest, 70% of these items were scored slightly positive. So again, students are going in with a more positive attitude than what is seen in the literature, which I think is interesting. And then our post-tests, even more improvement in attitudes. 92% of the items were scored positively, so we're in the positive ranges of this with a median and mean score of 2.74. And I just want to say that my co-author here, David Reed from University of Iowa, he's the one that took care of the statistics for me, and always what we do is gather our data, send it to University of Iowa, and they report it, they compile it. David Reed did put together some items that moved down in positivity and some items that moved up, meaning students thought that that older persons were more friendly than when in the pretest. They thought they were good versus bad and thought they were unselfish in the pretest. And then items that actually they went a little bit down overall were frugal. And actually, I think that's because this generational thing, frugal is considered a negative in many younger students' eyes. Thoughtful and humble, which after they meet some of the older persons I bring in the class, they've got some spit and vinegar in them, so they probably have a different idea of the humility of a 104-year-old after they meet some people that we bring in the class. We have to present this sort of data, and I don't like to do too much of this because I think it's a little bit dry, but I think one of the important things is that overall, the background of this course is there's a really huge shortage of health professionals in geriatrics, with any training at all in geriatrics. If we filled all of the slots that we have in our profession and in all of the medical professions and all of the nursing professions that they have for training people on the topic of geriatrics, we're in some deep guava. We've got a real situation on our hands. Worse than the nursing shortage is the geriatrician shortage or the geriatrics or gerontology trained shortage. And I think that chiropractors may help fill that need. We've got 30 hours in our curriculum. Some chiropractic colleges have significantly less. Some have about that much. But I think we've got to really focus on geriatric education to prepare our students for the age wave that is upon us. This course, if there's a bottom line, it does improve knowledge, if only slightly, because our knowledge is pretty good going into the course, and our attitudes, which are very positive going into the course, are still improved by having this sort of course. And I think that that's important as well, to try to conduct courses that improve students' confidence and comfortableness, I don't think is a word, so comfort with caring for older patients. And so that's what my aim is as an instructor, and I think we're getting there. Having sound knowledge and attitudes towards elder care, I think, is going to be very, very important towards caring for this aging population. And that's all I have for this session. So I'll end a little early, and then we'll save again questions towards the end.